I am conflicted about the booze ban. There is no doubt that we have a serious alcohol problem in this country. I've said that many times, and I'll say it again. We have a serious problem with alcohol harm in this country, and the fact that that alcohol harm is perpetrated by a relatively small percentage of the relatively small percentage of drinkers who are themselves a relatively small percentage of the total population, that doesn't matter. We have a serious problem. And there is also no doubt that when there has been a ban on booze, a total ban on booze, and there has been a strict curfew, that the trauma appearances, alcohol-related trauma appearances at hospitals have gone down dramatically. But around 1.9% of South African GDP is caught up in the various value chains that involve alcohol in some way, the hospitality industry and so on. And those people are suffering. They've suffered several times, many times, throughout the time from the 27th of March, which is when the first alcohol ban was instituted, and then there was another one, and then there was the third one on the 29th of December. There are a heck of a lot of people that have lost their jobs. Some will get them back, others won't. There's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of hunger, there's a lot of bills not being paid, people not being able to afford to live where they live, and. So how do you balance that? How do you reach a point where you say we can relax it to this point? I don't know. I really don't know. Professor Charles Parry is director of the Alcohol, Tobacco and Other Drug Research Unit at the Medical Research Council. Hello, Charles.
Yeah, hello, John.
One of the things that I've been asking out loud is, do we know how much of an impact the curfew makes, changes to the curfew? So allow limited booze sales for off consumption only. We've done that once in the last year, and keep the curfew. What does that do to trauma admissions? And you have access to some research which gives us some ideas about that.
Yes, John, there are two ways of looking at it. First, I mean, one was a study done last year on the effect of the second alcohol sales ban on unnatural deaths. Again, unnatural deaths obviously aren't trauma, but there's a link between people who die unnaturally and people who, I mean, end up in trauma units because they're injured. So there's some sort of a relationship like 1 to 20. For each death, there's 20 people who would go to a trauma unit. And this study looked particularly at the effect of the second alcohol sales ban on unnatural deaths. And as part of that, it did look at the effect of a one-hour change in the curfew. And what the study found, I mean, the simple answer is it found that there were 21 lives per day, mostly males, and half of them were young males, being saved from unnatural deaths because of the alcohol ban. And it looked at the complicated analysis going back to data from 2017, death data, daily death data, and putting all these factors into model econometric models and coming up with that number. And then part of it looked at the change that took place at some point, I think it was in July or August, where there was a change by 1 hour. They changed the curfew from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and they found that that had the effect of only increasing unnatural deaths by one of the 21 that had died per day. So really, the effect, particularly if you're looking at curfew in the early hours, I think we need to understand that the curfew is different. The effect of a shift from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock versus a curfew which goes throughout the early hours of the morning, which is when most of the trauma cases occur. If you're looking at particularly transport and homicides, a lot of that occurs sort of after 11 o'clock at night until sort of 4 in the morning. So the shifts in the curfew have not really been affecting that at this time. I mean, obviously, it does have an effect on the curfew. I mean, the effect of those hours because we had a curfew. But right now, we've been talking of shifts from sort of 9 o'clock, from 11 o'clock moving it to 9 o'clock. And the effect of that sort of change is not going to be great. Obviously, there is a huge
impact. Okay, so you say not great. Yep. So if the government were to keep the curfew from 9 o'clock, you say much of the stuff happens after midnight, but I mean, let's say keep it from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock in the morning, and allow restaurants, allow bars, allow off sale, retail stores to sell alcohol for consumption at home. What would that do to trauma admissions? Put all of that together in that answer for me.
Yes, certainly. We've got data to look at that. When we compare what happened in May with what happened in June, because in May we had a total liquor sales ban and we had a curfew from 10 o'clock till 5 in the morning. And then on the 1st of June, we kept the curfew the same and we banned on-consumption sales, but we said every outlet can now sell for off-consumption. So it's a very neat experiment looking at the effect of manipulating it in that way. And we found that, in fact, from the Western Cape data, the four weeks before the end of, before the 31st of May and the 4 weeks into June, there was a 49% increase in the trauma that went up purely because you'd really added in the off-consumption sales. So it's a 49% increase on what the trauma was during the ban. Okay, we can talk about what the level of trauma is now.
I'm getting a little lost in the percentages and the numbers. Perhaps from your perspective, and having had a look at this data, having had access to this data, would it make sense at the moment to re-allow off-consumption sale of liquor and keep the curfew in place? Yes, no?
I think it makes sense to keep the full ban, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay. All right. So from a hospital coping point of view, it makes sense to keep the full ban at the moment.
Yes, because currently over a two-week period in the Western Cape, five hospitals, we see 615 patients, and we'd probably see about a 49% increase on that. And the question is, can the hospitals manage a 49% increase on the 615 trauma patients across those five hospitals? And probably not in the Western Cape.
Okay. Yeah. So then you have to wait. I mean, you know with an awful certainty that when there are sufficient numbers of beds available and you allow alcohol to be sold again, those beds are going to be filled by people who have suffered some form of alcohol harm. But it's either that or ban alcohol completely, which has all sorts of consequences.
Yes, that's not a long-term solution.
Sure. And is there data clarity? I don't even know whether to say data or data. Clarity about at what point it becomes safe from a hospital coping point to allow at least off-consumption sales to begin?
I guess it depends on capacity, and that's not only beds, it's also staffing, whether they can manage a sort of roughly a 50% increase on the trauma levels that they're currently experiencing. They've got a bit of capacity to do that, and that's something obviously you'd have to speak to the health managers to get the answer to that.
Okay, so we have to wait for a lot more people to recover and leave hospital and a lot fewer people to be infected before we can legally drink alcohol again.
Well, that's probably the best way to look at it. But we will get there. I think we're talking of 2 weeks, maybe a month or whatever. That was the plan. Well, the president's plan was to keep the ban for another a month.
But if the numbers show that it is safe to do it before that, then I suspect, given an eye, which he keeps a very clear eye on what's happening in the economy, that he would do so. Professor Charles Parry, thanks very much for sharing that with us, Director of the Alcohol, Tobacco and Other Drug Research Unit at the Medical Research Council.